Hey, welcome to Live Sent Podcast, a podcast of Gateway Church in Columbia Falls, Montana. Our podcast is simply just thoughts on life, ministry, mission, and theology. Woo! How you doing, Joel?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. It's good to see you, man. It's always
good to see you too.
It's always good to breathe the same air.
Yeah.
That was a little too much. You're taking some of my hair away. No, I'm kidding. Dude, how's your Christmas season going?
It's good Christmas season. Not a lot of snow, but that's okay.
Yeah, it's kind of surprising, right? Like, yeah.
Not what the almanac said.
Stinking almanac, man. Well, because we got... If November was a precursor to what our winter was going to be like, we were thinking we'd be slammed.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because we
not
got
the case.
Not the case. Not the case. So, I mean, the high country is getting snow, but anyway.
But I'm not in the high country.
I'm not in the high country either. So, anyway, hey, as we're thinking about Christmas, do you have a Christmas movie that is maybe the least worst in your perspective? You're the only person I would ask it that way.
I mean, I don't know. There's Christmas movies that I enjoy watching for different reasons.
Sure, yeah.
So, I mean, I like It's a Wonderful Life. Theology's horrible in it. I like watching Home Alone because Marv and Harry get just tortured in that movie. I probably like the second one better, though. Because they
lost in New York, yeah.
Yeah, well when
eat brick,
when Harry
kid.
Get yeah, when they get hit with bricks and I like White Christmas.
Yeah, it's classic.
Because of the dancing in it.
Oh, sure, sure.
Yeah.
Mr. You don't know that.
Sister one.
Yeah, that's one, yeah, yeah.
Sisters.
Sister, yeah.
Yeah.
And then something. Anyway.
Yeah, so I don't know, there's four right there.
There's great, yeah. Now, I mean, for all-time favorite, definitely White Christmas. Couple of reasons, right? One, starts off World War II. So,
yeah.
Americana.
That's fun.
You know what I'm saying? And it's kind of this USO kind of theme, not really, but they're singing for the troops. They're trying to encourage them while they're far away from home. And just Danny Kaye in general and Bing Crosby being in there is just a great duo, really, you know? And It's a fun movie, but the dancing for sure when the girls are trying to get the girls away and they get in the costumes and they sing for them. I mean, you know, that's a little sketchy in certain circles. But anyway, it's a fun movie. I think it's just because we always grew up watching it, so it's become favorite in my family.
Nostalgic.
But, yeah, very nostalgic. Yeah, absolutely. Snow. Yeah, anyway. But you know what movie I recently I've watched because I have a almost 3-year-old, Helen, as you know, and one movie I've watched recently that I just felt like was kind of, I just stood out to me. Like, I've never been really people are going to hate me saying this, I feel like, because there's like hardcore, like, when I say the name of the movie, you're going to know what I'm talking about, but like, I've never been a fan of the Grinch movies. Like, I've just never been. And you've got people that are like, oh, the Dr. Seuss one, oh, I love it, blah, blah, blah. And then it's the Jim Carrey, oh, I love it, or I hate it, blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, there's some one-liners, sure, but the newest Grinch that came out about 2 years ago, there's some things I appreciate about it.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yeah, well, yes, that one. But that's one thing I appreciate, but I think I appreciate about it is because, so he's like walking through town and they're singing Christian songs, chasing him through town. And so it's kind of funny. And, it's pretty clean. And the relationship between him and Max is kind of fun. Anyway, but yeah, Christmas is upon us, and it's just a great opportunity, really, for us this season. Though Jesus wasn't born on, we know Jesus wasn't born on Christmas Day, right? Is news to you?
Yes. Okay. So thanks for ruining it all.
But it's an opportunity for us to take a season to remember His birth, and it's an opportunity to remember that God came and dwelt among us in Jesus, and that really He's ushering in a new way of life, a new life, and that's in Christ. And so just what a great season. But anyway, we've been in a series, this community series. What have we been talking about so far?
Oh, man. Well, we have been talking about how the early church lived life with each other.
Yeah, this life in community, right?
So we looked at Acts 2 and Acts 4 and those well-known passages about how they had everything in common and that they didn't consider that their possessions were their own. Mm-hmm. Not that they didn't own possessions, but that in their minds, it was the Lord's.
Yeah.
And so how could they not be generous with their things? And, you know, distinguishing that lifestyle from communism, where the government takes all the stuff and then distributes it. Well, it's not that. It's these Christians were so generous and grateful for the stuff that the Lord had given to them. How could they not live in a generous spirit back with their brothers and sisters? So,
no, that's really good. I totally agree. And really, we even talked about the reason the church could do that is because it's a spiritual body. It's been the member. It's not like a membership to a gym, right? You pay, right? No. You've been purchased. You've been purchased by the blood of Christ is how you have entered in this new family, this membership of the church, little church, local church, and also the universal church. But we really, we talked about Acts, and really we really started this conversation, I think, out of a heart, because at least most of my Christian life, and I would dare say most professing Christians in America at least, we really don't have a grasp of what biblical community is. You know, we kind of talked about that, of how most of what you do at quote-unquote church is a lot of times can be with other people surfacey, you know, because you see them on Sunday and you leave and you don't see them through the rest of the week, you know. It's really, you need to spend more time with one another to develop that community and that kind of thing. So we talked about community is not what we do as a church. It's not just like programming it out, but community is who we are as a church. And one of the core principles as we look at following Jesus, what the core principles of being a follower of Jesus is that we are to live out our relationship with God and fellowship with other believers. And we saw that in the early church, like you said, they gathered in the temple courts and they gathered in homes together. And so really today's big question for us is why? We talked about how, what did it look like for them? What was the what? What was the how? What did that look like? And then today we're going to really talk about why is community with other believers so important? If they did it, if they saw it was important, really, if Jesus modeled it, what's the why for that? What was the reason for us to do that today? So we're really going to talk about that. So what are your thoughts on that? Why, if, you know, just giving an open thing, why is it important for believers to live life in community together?
Well, I know that you have points that you're going to walk through, but I suppose the first thing that pops into my mind is because we're told to.
Right.
And if there was no practical reason, that would be enough for us to do it, because God has told us to. However, I do think that there are practical reasons, and I do think that there are reasons that the Lord has prescribed that for us. And one of those things is because we need each other in order to, I think, live in a way that is Christ-like. I think we need other believers to point out where we're going astray. There's so many one another's in the New Testament that talk about our relationship with other people. And I really think that the New Testament writers just had this idea that it was just such an obvious thing that Christians would live life in community with one another.
Yeah, it was natural.
Yeah, because without people, you don't have that accountability, you don't have encouragement, you don't have any of that stuff that makes following Christ easy, or you know, not easy, but doable.
Yeah. No, and I think too, like we even talked about this, kind of hinted at different levels or different times in our conversation, but I think one of the things that we just assume when we read Acts sometimes, I think subconsciously, that was just their culture, which they did have a communal culture for sure. It's like when we go to India, it's like, oh, they just 50 people cram in a 12 by 10 office just to hear the word. That's just their culture, right? But that's, I think that doing a disservice to really what are some spiritual implications for us. And what I mean by that is that when you look at what we're talking about community, it's not manufactured. It's not just, hey, we're going to do this. Again, it's not what we do. It's who we are. And so when you look at Acts, it's easy just to say, well, that's their culture. In light, justifying the fact that I'm okay with only seeing other believers one time a week. Does that make sense? But I really think there's really three things that really stand out to me, three reasons why we need community with other believers. And going off what you said, really, I think the first one is we need others to grow in intimacy with God. And which is, I think it's just such a foreign concept, because we think, oh, my relationship with God is private.
Mm-hmm.
And it's personal. Yes, that is true, right? You know what I mean? Of course it's personal, it's private, right? I can't live off the faith of Joel. I can't, you know what I'm saying? Like, it is personal, private. But it also, at the same time, is not. Meaning, like, there are certain things in your life that God has intrinsically designed for Him to use other people in your life that are followers of Jesus to help you grow.
I would say that it is personal. It's not private.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Oh, sure. It's personal, but it's not.
It's completely personal, and yet it is completely
private. Yeah, and I guess the distinction I was trying to make is we use the word personal. A lot of times people use that word personal and private sometimes interchangeably, right? Sure. Yeah. But no, you're right. It is personal and it's not private. Right. And so I think that's one of the things that, like, when we look at Acts 2, verse 42 specifically, I just want to remind ourselves of what that says. It says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. And really devoting, it really meant that they were remaining steadfast. That's what that word devoting is to continue in, it's to hold on to. And so, you know, the question is, well, what exactly were these believers devoted to? What are they devoted to? And what does the scripture says? It says teaching, fellowship, breaking bread, and prayer. So one of the results of these believers living life together was that it deepened their relationship with God. The fact of they living life together aided in that intimate, if you will, personal, intimate relationship with God.
Yeah, because it wasn't private.
Yes.
It was more personal.
Yeah. Yeah. It was communal, yeah. Right? You know? And I think that, like in the early church, it was their relationship with God that had brought them their relationship, it was their relationship with God that had brought them into a relationship with one another. That's crazy to think about. It was their relationship with each other that was deepening their relationship with God. So God brings us into relationship with other believers who He has saved as well. And it's those other believers that continue to help us deepen our relationship with God. Man, that's a beautiful picture.
When you think about the body of Christ and the house of God, these analogies that Paul uses to describe the church, each member is a part of something larger.
Yeah.
And so when you are communal with the rest of the parts, how can you not appreciate God more than if you're in the woods somewhere by yourself? You're just one part. Not appreciating the whole house, the whole body, the bride of Christ as a whole. So I think one of the things that fellowshipping with one another does in relation to growing into intimacy with God, it allows us to look at the body of Christ more holistically,
sure,
more completely,
yeah,
and say, wow, look at the diversity within the body of Christ.
Look at how God is using these people to complement one another to grow his kingdom.
Mm.
You know, there's something very worship worthy about that when you consider how God uses these people together and not separate. Because there's things that I can look at you and say, wow, that is, look how God uses Kyle in a way that he doesn't necessarily use me. And I can look at a lot of other people and say, sure. Wow, look how God has gifted them with compassion, mercy, and the gifts of teaching and preaching and, sure. and just things that, you know, I may have, but maybe I don't have.
Sure.
And so I think it allows us to looking at other people, fellowshipping with other people allows us to consider the creativity of God and appreciate the fact that he is creative and uses different people to do different things when he wouldn't just be able to use me and my weakness, but he uses the church as a whole to do those things.
No, that's a really good perspective of really it's a mosaic of the grace of God in the fact that he is in his sovereignty, he is able to bring together people that can be so opposite and so different and maybe even so differently focused together for one purpose. But in light of that, each of them having their own skills and gifts that you're talking about. And it just shows us that God is God above gods, right? Because of that creativity, that beauty in that, right? You know, a mosaic it's a lot of times it's all these broken pieces of pottery and they don't look like they fit together. They're different. They just don't look. And then he just puts them together and they form a beautiful, beautiful picture.
Which makes us want to worship him
even more
and grow into intimacy with him.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. And I think that perspective is a perspective given by the Holy Spirit. Because the world says, oh, well, I've got to figure out something about them that I'm better in. Does that make sense? Instead of celebrating the diversity mm-hmm. in that, in the gifts and skill sets, I think the world, our flesh naturally says, well, at least I don't do that or whatever, you know? And so I think that's a good point. I think that's a good point. And really, as we really get into this, there's really a very important two-word phrase that we quite often say to one another. There's a very important two-word phrase that is really referenced over 40 times. Kind of gave it away there, right? In the New Testament, it's a phrase that Jesus used, John used, Mark used, Paul used, Peter used, James used. And they used it over and over again to describe what relationships among Jesus followers are supposed to look like. 40 times in the New Testament, the phrase, one another is used to describe right relationships within God's family. One another. So when you hear that word one another, what are some things that just kind of pop off?
Together.
Together.
Yeah. You with everybody else.
Yeah. There's this, we ask this question in sometimes in our missional community, sometimes what's this phrase mean to you? That Christ builds me up through you and Christ builds you up through me. Is this idea that we need one another to grow in our intimacy with God. So I just we're going to take a moment and just kind of highlight a couple of these verses. And I think really, it really just begins to really put perspective. Okay. Because for me to say, no, I'm not going to engage with certain people or I'm not going to do this or whatever. It's really saying I'm not going to let God use me to be a blessing to them, right? Because
or vice versa.
Vice versa, yeah. Yeah, that's good. So he says this. He says, be at peace with one another. Be at peace with one another.
In what context? Do you know what?
So that's Mark chapter 9, verse 50. Mark chapter 9, verse 50.
Sorry, I put you on the spot there.
Well, I'm having to pull it up to reference it. He says, salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, how will you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. be at peace with one another. That there's this, that the one another really says the way we operate now as followers of Jesus is different than the way the world operates. Because in the world, you can be independent, you can do your own thing, whatever. But the one another says, how I live my life and what I say directly affects those around me. Directly affects those around me. And in Mark chapter 9 specifically, he's talking about the temptations to sin. And he says, whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, it would be better for him if he had a great millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. And he says, if your eye causes you to sin, if your foot causes, your hand causes, and he goes, is for everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, how will you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. Be at peace with one another. So be at peace with one another. There's think about this. There's another one that says, bear one another's burdens. Bear one another's burdens. Man, I mean, if that does not imply a responsibility to one another more clearly than any other opportunity out there, I don't know what it does. I mean, I think about like, okay, if me and you are hiking, and we're hiking on a long hike and we're both carrying lots of weight. And, you know, at one moment, you know, you have more strength at a moment. We're almost there, but the strength that you have is more than I do. And so you take my backpack and you carry my backpack, not because, oh, look, he can't hack it. He's just whatever. It's because we're going to the same destination. And the ultimate goal is that we're going to get there together and we're getting there for Jesus, right? And so we're going to the same destination, but you're willing to take my burden and care for my burden to be your burden. So in that moment, you relieve that stress, you relieve that burden in my life because you're willing to carry it with me. Now I'm going to pick up that backpack again. But at that moment, you are coming into my life and saying, look, I am going to walk with you through this. I'm going to bear this with you. And I just think this image of a hiker hiking and the other partner says, no, I'm going to carry your bag for a while because I know this is tough. I know this is hard. It's not that you're never going to get that bag back, but it's this reality is that the hiker who says that realizes, you know what? We could just say, hey, you can't hack it. Just quit, turn around. I'm going to make it to the top. But no. It's this reality of I want them to get there. And I want them, example, in this Christian life, I want them to get through the fire and through the trial and through the sanctification process to honor and glorify Christ in that. And I want to bear the burden so that we can continue in this life together. That's a perspective that I feel like really sets the world and the church, should set the world and the church apart.
Well, in the context in Galatians chapter 6,
yeah.
He says, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch over yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So contextually, what it means for us to pick up the backpack is to come to a brother or sister and call them out maybe on some areas that they're not living up to Christ.
Yeah.
So and it's you know, it's not always a comfortable
feeling. No, it's not. Right. And it's not just for the person receiving it.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I've been there where someone says, hey, look, I'm struggling with pornography.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say, okay, well, let me have access to, you know, to put this on your computer, put this on your phone or whatever. Or if you're ever being tempted, call me no matter the day or time. Get a call at 3:00 in the morning. It's not something that you just love to do, right? And so there's this reality of again, taking that backpack and saying, I'm especially like you said, in the context of sin is that you're coming to them and you're calling them out. And this burden that you're dealing with is, look, I'm willing to recognize it in your life, and I'm willing to take help help you walk through this, help you overcome this sin. Help again, because that sanctification process is like a fire process, right? That what God is doing is perfecting us, is bringing us to the image of Christ, and that He is going to glorify us one day. And so that brother or sister coming to them and saying, hey, look, there's this going on in your life, not to point the finger, really. If I were to come to you and I said, hey, this is going on in your life, and I never offer to bear your burden, if I never offer to help you in it, then I'm not done what that says, right? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? There's this reality of, well, that's just their sin. They deal with it. Well, yeah, it is their sin, but we deal with it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And that's uncomfortable for both. It can be, you know, it could be uncomfortable for the person that's in the sin, and it could be uncomfortable, meaning that it will require a lot of the person coming to them and, you know, saying, hey, I'm going to help you with it. Come along in this, you know? No, that's a really great point. That's a really great point. But I think what it does is, again, when you read these one another's, the heart behind it is love.
Yeah. Well, he says that in Galatians 6, verse 2. He says, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Well, what is the law of Christ? The scribe came to Christ and said, what's the most important commandment? And he quoted the Shema.
Yep.
You love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, might. Mind and strength. And then he said, a second is like it, to love others as yourself. And in the upper room, in the book of John, Jesus says, a new commandment I give to you, to love one another.
Yeah.
That's the law of Christ. And by bearing one another's burdens, by getting uncomfortable with each other,
yeah,
we're loving one another, yeah, fulfilling the commandment that Christ gave to the disciples in the upper room, love.
Yeah, and
the greatest of these is love.
So there's in the one another, and the love echoes this commitment to one another. Meaning, like Joel, when we at Gateway come together, when we have covenant membership, essentially what we're saying is because we're in relationship in our local body together, I have a responsibility to walk with you, and you have a responsibility to walk with me. I'm giving you, essentially, when I sign that covenant, I'm saying, Joel, you have permission to call me out on sin for the purpose of restoration. You have the permission to be all up in my life, and vice versa, right? It's this reality of there's a commitment to one another that echoes, if you will, the commitment Christ has to us. Christ has to the church. I mean, Christ bore our sin, right? Christ rose again. Everything that, you know, so there's a prayer that my friend always used to say, and it's kind of a little cliche, but, and I get what he's saying. I mean, it doesn't explain it all, but he would say, you know, Christ, you could have come down from that cross, but it was the fact that you wanted to love God, you wanted to honor God, but you loved us. And the fact of the matter is that Christ had every one of us on his mind when he died on the cross. I mean, he knew, you know what I'm saying? And so there was a commitment. His commitment to us is really fleshed out in our commitment to one another. It's the picture of the love of Christ, the love that we are to have one another, because we are part of a family. And we say this, church is not an event you attend, but it's a family you belong to. And family is all about community. Family is all about community. Can you imagine being in a room full of people that are your brothers and sisters and you have a terrible relationship with them? I mean, that would be a crime, right? And that's a reality in people's life. But here's the reality. I tell this all the time. We say this all the time, is that if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you have more in common with people that are followers of Jesus that you never met than maybe your brother or sister is not a follower of Jesus. Because Christ. And so, like, you have the be at peace with one another, give preference to one another, be kind to one another, disciple one another, build one another up, bear one another's burdens, do not complain against one another, clothe yourself in humility towards one another. So you have all of these, and living out these one another statements as the family of God does not come natural. It's his work in us, right? I mean, it's not natural to say, you know, yeah, I want to answer that phone call at 3 o'clock in the morning. No, my flesh says, no, I want to get some sleep. You know, right? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And so I can't live out them if it's just left to myself. It only happens out of the overflow of the life of Jesus in me. That means that there are things God wants to do in your life, and he has decided to use his family in order to do them. He has decided to use his family. So, example, if God says, Joel, I want you to grow in these areas in 2021. You know, it's the end of the year. We always say, hey, what are we going to do? If Joel says, hey, Joel writes these things out, says, I want God's burned my heart to want to do these things, to grow my prayer life, to do X, Y, and Z, right, in my life in 2021. The reality is there are some on that list that cannot accomplish without other followers of Jesus being involved in your life helping you do that.
Yeah.
Wow. Like, I mean, if that doesn't speak community, I don't know what it is. I really don't. And so as we're really kind of, and it goes back to this, there are things about God you will never learn apart from fellowship with other believers. Apart from fellowship with other believers. So we're wrapping up this episode, and we just keep diving into this topic, but really just kind of recap what we said is, look, why do we need to be in a relationship with other believers? Because we need others to grow in intimacy with God. We need other people, whether it's bearing a burden, whether it's, like I said, overcoming sin, or whether it's growing in our ability to share the gospel, or our understanding of scripture, or, you know what? Patience in tribulation, right? Faithfulness in the midst of a work situation that just is, you know, you need one another to live life together. I mean, we constantly say, I don't know how people who are not followers of Jesus get through 2020. I really don't. I don't know how someone who doesn't not only have a relationship with God, but a relationship with a community,
mm-hmm.
how they get through life. And so really, when we're talking about this, is we need others to grow in our intimacy with God. That is one of the reasons why we need community. That's why it's so important. So that in the face of, right, that flies in the face of, you know what? Solo Christianity, right? I'm just going to come into church on Sunday and I'm going to sneak out. And I want to remind us of a statistic that I just think further clarifies the worldview of the American church in many ways. I think I read, it was a Barna Group study, and it was over 70% of Sunday people who attend church on Sunday want to sit in the back and want to leave without talking to anybody. So again, what does that tell us? Church is an event you attend. But we say, no. Church is not an event you attend. It's a family you belong to. And family is all about community. And so that tells us why. Because we need other people. We need other believers, brothers and sisters, to help us grow in our relationship with God. We're so glad you joined the podcast today. Just a little snippet of really continuing our conversation about community. And we're gonna wrap this up next week as we look at really... So two other things that why we need community, why we need a relationship with other believers, why is it important? We're gonna wrap it up with really two main things. Is we need others to walk through the ups and downs of life, and we need others to accomplish the mission. Thanks for joining on the Live Sent podcast. We'll see you next week.